Hi, everyone. Before you keep watching, please take into consideration some of these materials are a little sensitive, and I'm not a professional. So if you want professional help, go seek for it and be careful. Some of these subjects can be sensitive. Thank you and enjoy the show. Welcome to another episode of Dare to Think. In this episode, I'm going to talk about a figure that I really like, especially because he, at least for me, embodies a lesson that most people don't learn, okay? The title of this episode is The Road to Shooting an Elephant in Animal Farm, circa 1984. And if the title doesn't give it away, who I'm going to talk about today is George Orwell. When it was 1984, the world went crazy. It was a 12-month media franchise of just how Orwellian the world had become. And even this word, Orwellian, comes directly from this man. The ideas of Big Brother and Newspeak all come from this incredible human being who had a very, very big bias at some point and then changed course in a way that I think still affects some of us today. To start, I want to talk about Orwell in his early years. So he was born to a family that had been disgraced in terms of riches in London, but he still went and attended Eton School, which is one of the best schools in England. And he was set to, you know, become a banker or a lawyer. And he basically went to a bit because he saw how privileged the other people were. He disliked the people he studied with. He decided to, you know, move away from that. Y se metió más a intentar hacer cosas que me recuerdan, te lo juro, me recuerdan mucho a Manuel Ángel Redondo en algún punto. Para los que no lo sepan, Manuel Ángel Redondo tiene un programa en el que él básicamente se comprometió a comer nada más con el sueldo mínimo, creo que por una semana. And it's more or less what Orwell did. He would go to Wigan and basically live amongst the people who were homeless and beggars to see the reality of how people in the lower strata of society would live. He was, in his first book, he declared himself a socialist. And his first notable work that most people know about is that one, Road to Wigan Pier. He also became an officer. Okay, he became an officer. He had a tour in India, in Burma, for the English Royal Force. And then he went, because he believed in socialism, he went and fought in the Spanish Civil War in the side of the liberals. Something that most people don't know. The thing about George Orwell, especially in that sense, is that Orwell was a true fighter and believer for the things that he did. He trained with the Marxists who were there to help the left wing part of the Spanish movement. And he trained with them. And when they went to battle, he felt absolutely disillusioned because he found that the hierarchies and the people who were there weren't actually following Marxist doctrines. They were, let's put it this way, very loose in their following. And he became disenfranchised with Marxism. Then he was in hospital. He was hospitalized in Barcelona. And just when he recovered, he decided, look, I don't think this is going to work. I think we need to leave. And he left Barcelona. And I think, let's say that was a Friday at 9. That same Friday at 12, nobody could leave Barcelona. And anybody who was helping the left-wingers was either executed or put in prison. So Orwell escaped Franco's dictatorship by not much, and then also was no longer having this illusion that the left, that socialism, Marxism was the solution. Still, Orwell got paid to a very, very healthy amount of money to write a book about what living in the lowest strata of society was like. That's when he publishes Road to Wigan Pier. And you already see that Orwell has a sort of medium position where he doesn't really trust any of the sides. And then he writes Animal Farm, after his experiences having worked with people from the USSR. And most people take him for a person who maybe isn't in the right track of mind. I would like to stop here for a second and think about what Orwell had to do. So his first position is that he was very, very privileged, right? He came from a privileged background, and he had a sort of tumble. His family wasn't able to maintain the level of socioeconomic status that he was used to in the beginning. And when he went into Eton, he was no longer the same person who grew up with a bunch of kids who were all, let's put it this way, aristocrats. Then he becomes disenfranchised with the aristocrats. He realizes that that is not the world he wants to live in, and he goes, lives with homeless people. There he realizes that, you know, they're going through some very, very rough things, and he decides that socialism is his true political nature, and that way he sympathizes with Marxists. He works with Marxists, decides that they are not trustworthy, that they are opportunists, and then he also dislikes the right wing. What happens here is very interesting. We have a man that had an uncanny eye for what the political atmosphere would look like later. When you read Animal Farm, it just reads like a parodied version of history that's strikingly close to what had actually happened. If any of you have read Animal Farm, the laws that all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. And the other very common Marxist phrase, from the one who has the most capacity to the ones who need it the most. These are all doctrines that George Orwell managed to criticize more succinctly than anybody else. His life was not a calm one in many senses. He was sick for a very long time. His wife died very early at some point. He retired out of the city. He loved more the quiet of a remote, very, very remote town than the bustles of a city. And for me, it seems very adequate that as Orwell was learning to see the world more accurately and to write about these things that he saw, he also became increasingly more aware of what he needed as an individual. He got away from these pursuits of war and trying to find meaning in these political ideologies, and started realizing that anyone that you choose has holes in it, and all of them have danger, and that the most crucial thing is to work on your humanity and on the thing that makes us all people. It was later, when he was close to dying, he already had published Animal Farm. It became an instant classic. The world over, it was read, and it was censored in many, 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 many countries. Orwell basically, when he's sick with his only son, he says, look, I'm not just going to go down like this. I still have one more book in me. It's famously known that he tried to hire a typist, and they just couldn't follow, and he couldn't find one in the remote town which he lived in, and he had to type very, very, struggling very, very much in the last days of his life to finish 1948. He had written the first draft of the book, and it was done, and every single time he finished one of the drafts, he would literally collapse and have to go to the hospital, and he finished the second draft, died not much later. He published his book, and 1948 has become more relevant than ever today. The government that can spy on every single move you have, well, look, I have three cameras on me at the moment, and that's something that would have been unthinkable in 1948, and yet 1984, that became close to being true. I don't think that Orwell is completely correct in all of his analysis, but his incredible forethought into the ways that 1984 could come true at some point, the ways that, and I've said this a lot in the podcast, Jordan Peterson says it a lot, the right wing, when it goes too far, we know how it looks. Orwell saw that authoritarianism could go too far. Que la mano dura, si se pone muy, muy fuerte, es capaz de simplemente make even your vocabulary go away. The concept of newspeak, where love isn't even a thing, is just right out of a George Orwell story. It's just Orwellian. To close, I really want to emphasize how Orwell got over his biases. And I think that every single human being should realize that even if we believe fervently in something, we should have the ability to sit back and through our experiences criticize the things that we know might not be true. Remember, dare to think about the things you have a bias on and the things that you consider part of your identity. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcast from. See you next week. Thank you for listening. Bye.